Thank you. This call is now being recorded. Please go ahead.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's JIC call on Tuesday, the 29th of May. We have Mirjana Tasić, Daniel Kalchev, Jonathan Scheer, Chris Dillon, Edmund Chung. From staff, we have Bart Boswinkel, Steve Sheng, and myself, Gisela Gruber. Apologies today noted from Fahd Patane, Rafik Dangmak, Jung Um Lee, Dennis Jennings. However, Dennis may be able to join us within the next 15 to 20 minutes. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. We are still trying to get through to Jane Sung, and I will let you know as soon as she's joined us. Thank you. Over to you, Edmund.
Thank you, Gisela, and thank you everyone for joining. We in our last conference call, we sort of set out a schedule to talk a little bit more about the VIP project and the IDN variant TLDs and what we plan to do next in this meeting. And then in our next meeting right before Prague, we'll spend a little bit more time on the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs and to try to set the course for that topic in Prague and forward as well. So today we have fairly light agenda to get an update from the VIP team. I know Steve Sheng, thanks for joining us, and then to talk a little bit about what we should plan to do at Prague and afterwards on the topic. Before I go to you, Steve, though, I wanted to, since Jonathan, you're on the call, I wanted to circle back to you. I know you put together a number of some notes that we were looking to put forward as some comments into the process. Given the new plan that came out, I'm curious if you have any thoughts you want to bring up before I'll let Steve give us some updates on that.
Thank you, Edmund. I'm Jonathan Shea. A while back, I have put together some draft comments on the project plan put forward by the VIP team. Later on, I noted that the VIP team has revised the project plan, and as a result of that, some of the comments are no longer required because the revised plans have actually somehow indirectly addressed some of the comments. So, Edmund, I would recommend that we have a quick update from Steve on what the latest budget plan is like, and then we can quickly discuss whether further action is required by the JIG.
Edmund
Jennings joined.
Yep.
Sorry to interrupt. Yes, Dennis Jennings, it's Gisela. Dennis Jennings has joined, Jane Song has joined, and Avri Dori has joined. Thank you.
Ah, that's great.
Hi. Yeah.
So,
hi. Sorry for the delay. I did get trouble to dial in. Since my name, they couldn't recognize my name or something, you know, so they wouldn't put me in. So.
Okay. No worries. Thanks for joining, and thanks, Dennis and Avery, for joining as well. We just got the call underway, actually. I was trying to get Jane on the line. There was some technical difficulties there. But in any case, so I was the fairly light agenda today, talking about the updates from VIP, and also for this group to consider our next steps and our activities on the topic in Prague and beyond. So I circled back to Jonathan, who put out some comments. We're volunteered to put some comments together, and we were going down the path of developing a statement. Jonathan just mentioned that, and I think we agree that with the new plan in place, some of those comments might not be needed further, but we might want to adjust them further on this. But I was going to hand it over to Steve Sheng, but since Dennis, you're on the call, I guess either yourself or Steve. A quick update on the VIP.
Thank you, Edmunds. Steve, do you want to take the update, or would you like me to do so?
I can do that.
And please do.
Yeah. Good morning, and good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to brief you on the variant issues project. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Loud and clear.
Okay. We've circulated a presentation for JIG team just probably 20 minutes before. So I'm going to briefly talk over that slide. If you could open that slide, that would be great. Many of these updates are really not new to the JIG, as the JIG has been working on IDM variant issue for a long time and produced some of the policy documents. So I'm just going to quickly go over through the background. And as Jonathan mentioned earlier, you want to see the revised project plan, so which I'll focus my time on that. So I'm on slide two. Kind of a quick recap why we're doing this project, because there's a long-standing request for a number of IDN user communities that variant is an important issue. And the board tasked staff to develop an issues report, I think it was in 2010. In 2010 on this subject.
Pardon me, my apologies.
Oh, sorry.
My apologies, Steve. I think that's my mobile phone.
Oh, no problem.
Let me try and get rid of it. There we go. My apologies, Steve.
No problem. So on slide four, the approach we take is first with the community studied the six cases. So we studied the Arabic, Chinese, Cyrillic, Devanagari, Greek, and Latin. And I think many of the members of the JIG were, active participants in these studies. So we really appreciate your effort. Once the sixth study completed, a representatives from each of the case studies was invited to form a integration team that integrate these issues identified in the six case studies into one report. That was published, I think, in 2011. It was completed. Just quickly go over the report. There's no commonly agreed definition of variant, and it was used to refer to a number of different concepts. So in this report, to address that terminology issue, we recommend more specific terms. So on slide six, for example, we try to separate code point variants and whole string variants, where the whole string variants are, based on relationship between whole strings, for example, their meaning to a language community. But the code point variants are based on the relationship between code points. So, for example, a variant is a single point. A code point is a variant of another code point or sequence of code points. So that's one big distinction. Within the code point variant, we have those, one and two, which is one is called exchangeable variants, where generally, this is, for example, the simplified and traditional Chinese case where those people consider those exchangeable. And the second, so that's number one. And then there's the other part is visually similar, where this is, for example, in the Arabic community, where the code points are visually similar and confusing, and they call that variant. So as you can see from this diagram on slide six, there's no commonly agreed definition. And in the integrated report, we try to categorize them and propose specific terminology. Moving on to slide eight, so the major themes of the report, there's a tension between an interest in creating greater functionality to address a range of potential variant cases. And in many of these cases, there's a user community demand, and there's also, on the other hand, the difficulty of meeting these objectives. So that's the major themes of the report. It went into in greater detail what the next steps are. So on slide nine, the next steps. So after completing the issues report and identifying the issues, so the VIP team produced a project proposal, which was out for public comment. Very quickly, the project proposal was first to do a set of feasibility studies. So these feasibility studies include, for example, the feasibility of whole string variants, feasibility of I can't remember the other two, but we have to do a technical study on the mirror invariant and non-mirror invariant. So those are the set of feasibility studies. And then after that, the original plan was to reach a decision point on the types and states of variants to implement, and then after that to implement the process. So that's the original plan we put out for public comments earlier this year. We've gotten some very helpful feedback from the community. So I'm on slide 12, and these are types of feedback we've received through the public comments. So there are some comments about expanding the scripts to include more scripts in the process. And there's, some other comment referred to support variants to minimize user confusion and fraudulent use. So while people agree that, it's good to, from the usability perspective, to increase, to be able to support variants, but doing so must be in a way to minimize the user confusion and the potentially fraudulent uses. Some of the comments seem to say that the code point variants should really be a priority for whole string variants. So we actually taken that comment aboard. And the last two, there are a couple of individual communities. So, for example, the Chinese community expressed their desire of the strong desire for the Chinese community on activating these variants. And finally, advantages and disadvantages, disadvantaging script communities. So we've taken those feedback both from the public comment and also in the public forum, which we held in Costa Rica, and produced a revised project plan. At a high level, the revised project plan focused on the issues that are in the critical path and reprioritize other projects. So before, we are proposing to do six projects, but we're going to focus, the three on a critical path for actually you know, be able to activate some of the variants. So the first project will be a IDN table format 2. These projects I'll go over detail in the later slides. The second is the creation and maintenance process for the IDN table for the root. And the third project is user experience study with active variants. The revised, I'm on slide 14. But let me go into each of the projects in detail and then coming back to this slide 14. So on slide 15, the first project is a format for a IDN table specification. This is not really dependent on having a variant in the root, but this is a necessary thing to be in place. So the issue is trying to address is today when registries submit IDN tables, they come into, you know, very different formats, and it makes it difficult both in terms of for comparison to check for inconsistencies or for machine processing. You know, as the number of TLDs is going to expand for the root zone, this problem is likely going to be much worse. So this project it will develop a specification for standard 2 for listing the allowed code points and the label generation rules. So this is really a format. For example, if you think of the this is a XML format, and that would all the IDN tables in the root will have to conform to this format. So that's project one. Project two, which is really the key of this, the critical piece of this, is to determine a process for creating and maintaining IDN tables for the root zone. So today we have IDN tables submitted by registries. So each registry can submit whatever table they want. And sometimes these tables could be inconsistent, even for the same script. So the question is before us is we need to determine a process for developing the what we call here the code point repertoire or the IDN table and the generation process for the root zone. So how those are determined. And this project must be completed before any IDN variant TLDs may be implemented. So this project is really on the critical path for determining those. So just to give some example of that process, what it needs to consider. So in the integrated issues report, I think it identifies a couple of factors. One factor is, you know, the comprehensiveness. The other is expertise. So, for example, whether it involves expert ruling. So, if a certain a community come forward and say, you know, this is our table. What is the process to say, okay, you know, okay, this is the authoritative table. And does that involve expert ruling? You know, what if people disagree? There are a couple other cases where this may not be a big issue for some communities, but it could be a big issue for other communities. So the goal, again, is to determine the approach to developing the code point repertoire and the label generation process for the root zone. So once that project completes, depending the outcome, you know, so once the process is completed in determining that, then the actual work will need to be done, you know, in actually generating those, in creating those tables. And in these steps, you know, we understand some communities are farther along than others in coming up these. So So that's Project 2.2. Project 6, I'm on slide 18, is to study the examine the user experience implications of active variants. So the expected outcome of this is to recommend some rules or guidelines a TLD should operate under in order to provide an acceptable user experience with regard to variant TLDs, with including appropriate policy or contractual provisions in making these rules effective. So, in other words, you know, operating a variant TLD would require some specific special rules, and because of its technical and user nature, additional rules may be imposed. So this study is trying to come up to say, you know, what are those rules are. So that's the first objective. The second objective is I can understand many of these parts that guarantees a good user experience is not within the influence or remit of the ICANN. But ICANN felt that it's still necessary to point out some of these issues for the relevant communities to address. So the second objective is to create a useful reference for educating application developers and others affected by these changes. So those are the outcome of Project 6, and in order to do that, we'll do a study on the user experience implications when two or more variant TLDs are activated. So that's Project 6. So let me go back to, bear with me, to slide 14, which with these projects, we can look at the revised timeline. So Project 1 is already ongoing. I think Project 6 is ongoing. So Project 2.1, I think that's we're about to start or already started. Project 2.1 will probably take the longest time, and we envision to this is because the 2.1, we're thinking of taking the approach of the integrated issues report where we invite community experts again, you know, to work together with ICANN in terms of defining this process as it is a critical piece that needs community input. So the goal is to have a approval in the ICANN, I think, Asia meeting of the agreed IDN table creation and maintenance process for the root next spring. I believe that was the Asia Pacific meeting. And then once these first three projects completed, the result will be used for example, 2.2, implementing the root IDN tables process. So this follow-up project will be just to actually fill out those tables defined by Project 2.1 that conforms to the format of 2.1. And depending on the study of Project 6 and Project 2.1, additional updates to the ICANN GTLD and CCTLD programs may be needed, as well as, you know, ICANN operations. So those will be started, you know, as soon as the first three projects completed. So we've listened to the community. So this project change result in a reduction of project budget. So before it was 2.8 million, now the project plan is 1.5 million. This is still a significant amount of resource that ICANN is allocating due to its importance and significance in nature. And the change in timeline to the original project plan aims to change at the end of fiscal year 2004, And you know, coming from the public comments we receive, you know, we try to work hard to make it to happen faster. And right now is the beginning of our fiscal year 2012-14. So that's a quick update, and I'm happy to take questions. Before I do that, Dennis, do you have anything to add?
No, Steve. Well done on the presentation. Just one thing. The budget is, of course, a budget proposal that goes through the whole budget process. So there's no guarantee that that will be the figure that emerges. We might be larger. It's probably going to be a bit smaller. But that's the submission that we're making. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank
over
you.
To you, Evan.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Dennis. So I guess anyone have any questions on that to start with? Perhaps, Jonathan, I don't know whether you've had a chance to take a look at the revised plan or if you have any immediate feedback on what Steve was saying, since you have been leading some efforts from us to put some comments together.
Yes, thank you, Edmund. Jonathan Shea. Yes, I think with the revised project plan and looking that emphasis and priority are given to Project 1 and 2, I think these are very sensible changes. But with Project 6, given that I can only speak for the Chinese community, I think the utility of Project 6 is quite limited for the Chinese community, understanding that they have been providing Chinese domain name registration services for quite a number of years, and user experience is quite well understood. So for the community, I think the Project 6 will not add a lot of value. But it may be useful for the other scripts, for the other languages, and which I have no sufficient knowledge to comment on. But overall, I think I really welcome the changes made. And now the whole thing are more results-oriented, and I think we are moving in the right direction. So thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Any other comments before I see if Dennis or he wants to respond to that? Anyone else?
Dennis here, Edmund.
Please go ahead.
I think Jonathan's comment is very apt, and I think he's probably right for the Chinese Han script communities. However, that experience would be very useful input, particularly for those who may want to apply for Chinese variant TLDs in other parts of the world. So I think that I look forward to the Chinese community providing input on usability and user experience as part of the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Hearing no other questions, I have jot down a few that of my own. So I guess I'll get it started. If anyone has any further comments, please jump in and let me know you have a question. I guess a few items. I'll start with one which I think Steve you mentioned in terms of 2.1. Yes, 2.2 as well. But you mentioned the engaging the community in that work, much like the case study teams. I wonder how that's progressing, and as you mentioned that has commenced as well. So I'm just curious how that's progressing and how that's being done.
Thank you, Edmund, for that question. So 2.1, the first step of that is to, solicit, members of the community who are interested. and who have the expertise. So we're going to follow a very similar approach the way we did recruiting the case studies, the experts in the case studies. I think we have recently let me think. We have board approval to go ahead. Dennis, is that correct?
We have we're in the process, Steve. We have approval to yes. publish this plan for public comment
right.
with the board variant working group, and we're interacting with them on some more details. And we basically we hope to be able to launch at Prague, subject to board variant working group approval. I think that's the status as it at the moment, Steve.
Okay, right. So hope that answers your question, Edmund.
Yeah. Yes. So I guess we could expect that the team will engage the community much like previously in the sort of an open call for participants, and there will be a process and a group will be formed to discuss how to participate and produce the report from the project. Is that a fair characterization?
Yes.
Okay, and that hasn't happened, right? So we can expect
no, it hasn't happened
in the next
yep.
little while.
Yep.
Okay. I see from my chat that maybe Jane wanted to speak up. I don't know whether you, Jane, are you able to unmute? And did you want to say something?
Hello, could you hear me?
We can hear you.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I'm muted. So, anyway, I just want to echo what Jonathan's comments, because actually at this point, I think Chinese community still have the concern of the timeline, because they expect to be much faster than the current timeline to resolve this. Variant issue, because it's been so long, ever since we start to discuss variants. But that's one more comment I want added.
Thank you, Jane, and I guess I'll echo that as well. As much as we are, I guess not only the Chinese community, I think the IDN community as a whole. Has been waiting for this. I think not Chinese community has been, of course, much more vocal on a number of these issues. But I'm pretty sure that from our colleagues from the Arabic region, from the Indic region, and some of the other European languages are equally keen to see this happen.
Edmund, can Dennis here? I wonder, could I just respond
please.
Gently to that?
Please go ahead.
Yeah. First of all, I fully understand the frustration and the perception that this has been going on a very long time. Indeed, it has. So this project has been going on about a year and is making steady progress. And I hope that gives confidence that while it still may seem frustratingly slow, progress is being made, and the project will deliver. I think I have to emphasize the need for caution and care and ICANN's responsibility in this regard. And you'll have seen the Internet Architecture Board make statements about what code points are permissible in the route, which indicates that some of the community is even more extremely cautious than this project is being. And we're trying to steer a line between the demand and the not unreasonable frustration with delays as they're perceived, and the technical advice and caution. All I can offer is that we are making steady progress, and it is our firm intent to continue making steady progress as best we can with the support of the community. So I do understand the frustration, but I'm just appealing to you to understand that we are marching through as best we can in a quite complicated situation with a number of opposing radically different views on this whole process. Thanks, Edmund.
Yeah, thank you, Dennis. And I think we all understand and appreciate the progress we've made in the last year or so. So we are I'm hoping that and I'm pretty sure that this group that gathered here is fully supportive and wants to contribute to the process as we go along. That being said, I wanted to clarify one thing. There's important to in this whole process. It's really important to clearly identify what the variant IDN variant TLD issues are, and what issues might be part of it, but not be confused and take us into a different path. So some of the things that you just mentioned about the code points, that is relevant to IDNs for sure, but regardless of which ones, which code points we need to, the task at hand is, you know, it would be much more fruitful if we focus on the task at hand, which is the IDN variant issues and scope it that way. And one of the things that I think is very positive in that is seeing that the visual similarity part is being at least taken away. I understand that that's an important part of the whole TLD process, both for IDN CC TLDs and for new gTLDs. So that has its place. But you know, confusing it with the variant issues is often less useful than useful. So that comment, and then I had a couple of clarification sort of questions as well. One of which is, I guess, to Dennis or Steve, is whether you see any policy changes or development requirement, because in your, I guess, in both the original project plan and in the new revised plan, there hasn't been any budget in terms of time for if down the road there are any policy change requirements from the GNS or CCNSO to actually put this in place, and how you see that happening.
Steve, do you want to answer that, or would you like me to?
Please go ahead.
Thank you, Edmund, for the question. This is something that we're actively working on at the moment and consulting internally with the ICANN policy staff. Our current thinking is that we don't see major policy, new policy issues. We think that they're covered by existing policies, but we're consulting on that internally, first of all. At one level, of course, if there are, they'll have to be dealt with by the CCNSO and the GNSO, and that will, if it happens, include some significant time delays. And so at one level, we hope that won't be the case. And at the moment, we don't think it is, but we'll be consulting very carefully, as I say, first internally and then with the CCNSO and GSNO, if necessary, just to make sure. But my current thinking, best thinking, is that the existing policies are broad enough to cover what we're trying to do, and they're really operational matters rather than policy matters. But it's a very good question, and I don't really have a firm answer. Thanks, Evan.
Thank you, Dennis. And I guess the reason why I brought this up is because this the making of this group is specifically to look into those areas where certain policy recommendations or further work might be alerted to the two chartering organizations, which is the GNSO and the CCNSO.
Indeed, Edmund, Dennis here again. Indeed, and I think that's where the JIG can be most helpful, by looking at that, at the project from that perspective, and giving us a heads up if you think there are policy issues there.
Right. That's exactly where I wanted to lead the question, and also throw it back to my colleagues here on the group. is I think, you know, I've been saying this all along anyway, but I think it's our next step in terms of the jig should probably be start to walk down that path. And I'm happy to hear that, Dennis, that your team has also started the process in terms of figuring out whether the policy side needs any changes or amendments or clarifications, even if no changes need to be made. Off the top of my head, and I've also been saying this a few times, I know this is jumping way ahead, but off the top of my head, there are at least a couple that we might want to take a good look at. One of which is in terms of the cost recovery or the fee structures, for a more direct way to talk about it, on that and how that plays with both the GNSO new GTLD process and the IDNC CTLD process. Because I think that has an element that might need to be looked into, because we you know, eventually, if we are talking about what we're talking about here, which is the idea of Marion LDs, we are potentially looking at, even if not new policy, a clarification of how the existing policies would cover the cases of variants would be useful to at least on the G side to circle back to the GNSO, because I think that's certainly an issue that is a lot of people would pay attention to. So that's at least one of them, and I think, you know, for the group, I'd like to try to get the group started on thinking and looking into how this, as this goes along, what the policy implications are, and that's, I guess, where this group can be most effective, if in fact there are things that in terms of policy that needs to be done, then we should flag it, bring it back to the respective SOs, and have them have that work been done. So, I guess with that, I wonder if anyone else have any thought on that, whether that makes sense or not. Well, looking at the time, we're almost at the top of the hour. Hearing no further thoughts on that, at least for now. I'd like to get a quick sense of what the VIP team's plans are for Prague, and see if there are any coordination we should have in terms of the activities that are planned for Prague.
Steve, do you want to update the people on our plans for Prague?
So the plans for Prague. Obviously, we're going to, you know, try to kick off 2.1, for, you know, by recruiting, you know, community experts. So that's something concrete and tangible. We will have a public session in Prague. I don't remember on the top of my head which day was it. It was maybe on Wednesday or Thursday.
Well, currently, Steve, it's scheduled on Monday, the 25th, at 2 o'clock.
Oh,
but that may have changed. No.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, Gisela here. Confirmed for Monday.
Oh, Monday. Okay, yeah. Scheduling is always difficult. That we will be going through, you know, providing this update, which is, I think, is similar to this presentation that we present to the JIC. So the JIC, so you have a preview of what we're presenting. The other thing we may be looking for community input is, so on Project 6, user experience, which is the project that I am personally leading and responsible for, that we have we're going to produce a study outline and a report outline, a study proposal for community feedback. So I think Jonathan mentioned earlier that, you know, that the Chinese community have a vast experience. So I was wondering, you know, to the GIG in general and to Jonathan specifically, if you would be able to provide some comment and feedback to help us.
Jonathan, did you want to respond quickly?
Yes, thank you, Edmund. Thank you, Steve. Yes, Steve, I think just let us know when the outline comes out, and we will have a look at it and try to give some comments.
Thank you, Jonathan. So we will share it as soon as it's ready to the whole VIP community. And thank you in advance for that. So those are a couple of things I can think of for now.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. And Gisela Bart, I just want to check to make sure that I know we are also scheduling a meeting for this gig. I hope that doesn't conflict with the session, the VIP session. Do we know what the times are and whether they conflict?
Dennis,
sorry, Edmund, it's Gisela here. Bart has had to leave the call. What I'll do is I'll look up the VIP session and the jig, and I'll send a quick email to the mailing list to advise on times.
Okay, that'll be useful. And I guess if it currently conflicts, then I know it's very difficult in terms of schedule. I hope they don't. Is my comment, I guess. And with that, I guess I'd like to also invite the VIP team to the meeting. And if Dennis or Steve, if you could bring some of the initial feedback from the policy staff on, you know, their thoughts on this. You alluded to some of it, but if we can have a little bit more in Prague where we can talk about it, and that will help us plan our next steps for the JIG in support of the VIP work as we go forward as well.
Happy to do that. We'll present what we have at that time.
Thank you. With that, we are past the top of the hour, so I wonder if anyone has any further comments before we close this. Hearing none. So as mentioned last time and as laid out last time, this meeting we were talking about the VIP work. The next meeting just before Prague, we'll go back to the subject on universal acceptance of IDN TLDs, and I believe the time of the meeting is moved out about 1.5 hours, so 13:30 UTC instead of 1200 UTC. Gisela, am I correct?
Gisela here for the transcript. Yes, correct, Edmund. On Tuesday, the 12th of June, JIG meeting will be at 13:30 UTC due to the CCNSO Council call being at 1200 UTC. I will send an email out to the mailing list this evening just to confirm the time.
Thank you. And we also have invited the staff team that's working on universal acceptance of TLDs to join us and also prepare for our activities in Prague. So with that, thank you everyone for joining, and I'll talk to everyone in 2 weeks' time.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.